They never put nothing in the back. They, my green card. The only they give me a piece of paper. They say for so many times. One day, I asked quite a few people what it need to be a regular.
Resident.
Resident of the United States. They told me you're supposed to this, supposed to that. And instead of asking the people right here, because nobody knows, most of the my country people delivered, they come in about 40 or 50 years before. They come in easy across the border, you know. They pay only 10 cents, 50 cents.
Yeah, across, yeah.
50 cents.
Yeah,
well, I go to Mexico City, I go to the consul, and I ask what he need for my papers. Say, where do you want to go over there? Because I've been working over there. Oh, you're working over there? I come you right here. I ask permit to come to ask these questions. Oh, you on the president program? Yes. I was contract for the Workforce Administration. What kind of job you have? And I pick a foreman. Oh, you foreman? How come? I don't know. She said, you have the papers? You? I give me the green card. He said, let me tell you, I remember the name of the lady. I can't remember the name of the lady. Say, Mr. Garcia, you don't need that. You already had that.
Visa.
You
have the visa,
you right? You have the visa right now. But as soon as you write papers, I'm sorry. Cancel. You need these kinds of papers. I start with the beginning. But they help me. I know.
In 15 days, it was back.
In 15 days, I'm making my... Before this way, or that way... You name it. I was in my house, you know, next to see, I know what to do.
And you're jumping. Tell him about Villa Senor. What happened to him?
Oh, the man, the consul of Mexico, he was condemned for 25 years against the country, the citizen of Mexico.
What was he? Was this for?
Embezzlement.
It's stolen from the worst people. When he's supposed to help us.
Mm-hmm. And this was the consul from around here.
Yeah.
Okay, in San Bernardino.
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. Okay.
Tell him what he told you.
Oh. Before I go in 1946 to make my serious baby, when you know all of this, I need a sort of the recommendation for him. He said, for my so-and-so, you know. Never go back to this country. I love it. I say, wait a minute. Look, who's the president in Mexico right now? Who is? Miguel Alemán. Miguel Alemán was born in my home state. And for him, you're going to be in jail. You just wait and see. And thanks to God, my word was like a prophet.
He met him in court. He was coming out of court, and he was going into jail.
there's so much here. You really just started scratching the surface, because this is I've been waiting a long time to talk to someone with the information you're giving me. One of the questions I had, I was told by a guy who'd done some picking in the late 30s and early 40s. He said that he had quit Kaiser, and he was a local. He quit Kaiser and come back to picking around 1941 because the price of picking at the box had gone up.
Yeah.
It gone up. And then when they brought the Raceros in the next year, the growers cut the wages, gave you guys about 10 cents a box, and it had been around 30 cents a box. What was that like when you came in?
Let me tell you this. Maybe that guy was wrong. It's wrong.
Okay.
Because you ask the local people.
Mm-hmm.
They, when we come, they pay to the local people the same thing. The same thing. They don't pay more to us. Naturally, they give the best growth to the local people.
Ah, okay. All right.
This is the only reason. They send some kind of growth to the best growth, and the poor growth, you know, the chicken coops, the chicken ranch over there, Montana, Rialto, Cucamonga, to the braceros.
Yeah.
To make it less money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They pay the same.
Okay.
But the poor picking, see?
What were they paying you?
About at that time, 10 cents.
About 10 cents a box.
Before we come in, I know, I talked to a lot of pickers. They take 5 cents, 6 cents, 7 cents. 50 cents. The most they pay by the hour is 75 cents an hour.
Yeah.
To us, 50 cents. Because we are on contract, you know.
Right.
No matter if we work in Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, or whatever.
Yeah. It was all the same wherever you were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they, like I say, you know, they take an advantage in a way, because even you, maybe you hear the one of the big names in Redlands, Dan Anderson used to be a consul or city mayor of Redlands. Dan Anderson. I cooked for his family, big banquets. I was the only Mexicans, maybe, you know, what's the name, de la señora esta, del Rio, Reina?
No.
Nelly del Rio. You ask her, Nelly del Rio.
Oh, no, okay, yeah.
Well, you ask her who was the Mexican that took El Cinco de Mayo and University of Redlands. The only guy.
Pastor Butter.
Norman Martinez, Ori Martinez, say, can you write me about the story of the Mexico, the Cinco de Mayo? Sure, I write it for him. When I go to the university, I give him, oh, no, 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 he said, come on, come on, come on. Gonna, I say, you're going to lose me to who was to write the speech. He's going to make the son of a guy, let me over there in front of the microphone. You do it, you do it. And I say, take it. No, no, no. He take the paper. He think I'm going to make a mistake. I say in the microphone, whatever it was right here. You ask Mrs. Del Rio. I was the first Mexican. This is a pride for me, you know, because no many Mexicans do that.
No, that's... Dennis.
And then, well, quite a few things happened in my life. Even I had quite a few enemies because I'm so frank to tell the people what I know. What I, the truth, I never lied to the people, you see. Like I told you, what happened is, you tell the day it was to Mexican consul for the papers to you and I go to Mexico.
he's really nice sometimes. We went to the consul to get a permit to go to Mexico. Here's this lady, or lady from there. Señorita, can you go to the back line? And another one, Señorita, go to the back line. He lost patience. He cussed them all. Okay, the following Sunday, we had a guest of honor, one of the big Sociedad Progresista, the big one, mm-hmm. over at the horn show. Big one, the, what place it was? The big
swing auditorium, the big auditorium.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And who was sitting there in front? But the consul and the secretary, whose master's firm was.
I'd like to talk to you a bit more about some of the groups that you were involved with, the Progresista, any others?
Yeah, the Progresista, the
Latinos,
the Ignacio Zaragoza, de la Unión Patriótica Venezuela Mexicana, Trabajadores Unidos, right now the...
Edad de Oro?
Golden Age? See, and I've got no information on any of this stuff. I've been digging around and asking people, and I've only heard... The only things I've talked to people about a little bit are the Progresista, the Alianza.
Alianza
Hispanoamericana,
uh-huh.
Yes, yeah,
South.
Yeah, but I haven't got a whole lot of information.
We have Trabajadores Unidos still in Colton.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Unión Benéfica Patriótica Mexicana, también aquí en San Marino.
So they're all still.
Yeah, still
active.
Yeah.
They're still shaking away. They're old.
Yeah.
People are getting old, but the Sociedad Progresista is pretty active. So is the Edad de Oro, but the Edad de Oro, it's pretty good, but the back home base is in up north. And there are 17 applications from the age what?
16 to 90.
16 to 90. And how long is a 90-year-old person going to last? So,
I against that proposition again. I tell, look, what chance you going to have to enjoy if you're going to pay, suppose that we lose 20 guys a month. You're going to pay $20 every month for these people that die. That people got 90 years, the age. How many months are you going to pay? You think you're going to pay 1 year?
Yeah.
If we're lucky, we're going to pay 1 year.
But you got to figure this out. If you borrow $3,000 from any bank, you have to pay interest. You pay about $30 a month payment.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, but no, because my father was a criminal, I got to be criminal too.
Mm-hmm.
No. You simply try to look and just try to save your money. not give away from, because if you're going to give a charity, give a charity who need it, really needed the charity, not the people that don't need it. Because right now, for the standard or the rules of the government, nobody got hungry in this country. If they got hungry, it's because they spend the money in something else.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah, you know, if you work and you can't have every money, you leave. If you waste it. You had mentioned something at the beginning of our conversation about the way that you were treated by the locals. Because I've heard again from some people that I spoke to, and they were older in their 80s. When the war hit, a lot of the younger men, the younger locals, took off either to Kaiser or the different industries or went into the service.
No, wait a minute. Cuando the war started, most of the people that working like in Kaiser, San Bernardino, North London base, was women, mostly. Naturally, there was a lot of people, not ready to go to the service, more than 40, 45, or 50 years old, no young people. The young people were in the service. When in 1945 or 46, they started sending their troops to this back to home, and instead of going to the agriculture, known in Redlands, Santa Maria, Lindsay, Porisville, Baitelius, parts, the citrus industry or agriculture industry, they going to come back to the bases, go to work at the factories, because they pay more. And instead of carrying the sack and the shoulders of men to load the boxes, the vegetables, whatever, say, no, go over there. Yes. And we take the position of these guys, we collect the vegetables, we collect the fruit. Even in Montana, we collect the apples in the winter time, 1 hour working outside, 1 hour in the one room to be warm again, come back again and walk back and forth for 1 hour, 1 hour inside, 1 hour outside, picking apples for 15 cents an hour.
But he was the first man to go into, how old are you?
33.
I think that was close already. Right in the corner of Venice Boulevard and Orange Street, used to be an ice cream parlor. We weren't allowed to go in there. So he walked in there.
The police come and tell me, get out of here, you know, we belong to this.
The police came in, yes.
And I say, why? Then my wife say, look, this is my papers. This is the money I got to spend right here. And I'm not coming to my country, to your house. You call it your house right here. You go and bring them out right here. I collect the oranges like the rest of the guys. I help you to your economy. The thousands of people like me. If you don't serve me a food to what I wanted, all of these Mexicans in Cone came, I'm going to make it possible to we go back home. They said, what are you going to do? They serve me food.
And then just before that, he came in, what's 43?
To California.
To California. Even 40, even up to 40, 41, 42, there was certain place we couldn't go in. But as soon as the Second World War came into effect, when those people came back from the service, the girls dressed better, they changed their ways. All of them, they came, not all of them, but a few of them, turned to barbering, general contracting, law, medical, which they wouldn't let us, they wouldn't let them be. They weren't even allowed to think of going into
it. I had heard that there was still certain types of segregation in Redlands, like at the Plunge and seeing the white trade only signs up through the 50s.
Uh-huh.
Skating rink, mm-hmm. Mondays only. In fact, we won't go too far. What were we doing? You still in Calum, I said?
Yep.
What was it then for a year?
The 70s.
We started going to church in
your paper?
The camp. Comedians. What are these people?
Yeah.
You know, we have a prayer in our Catholic church that says, peace be with you. Don't you do that? He goes, listen. So I said, I'm not coming back. I went to church, got that door, told the mother, I ain't coming back to your church. Why? Because your people are too prejudiced. Still, it's just 70, that was 78. 78. Now, we used to pick, fruit specials here in Kaipa. Now, there were some nice people, Dr. Mr. Bean, Mr. Frank, quite a few. But they always complained about the Oklahoma's coming over here to California at that time. Mm-hmm. With the dirty mattresses, peed on with the kids, because they were poor. Once they stayed here, you know, a few months, they would change over. Some of them did, but talked about being precious here in Redlands, Yucaipa, forget it. I mean, maybe I was too mean. I had a lot of respect. I mean, the girls, I was never ostracized to say that they were prejudiced with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, good girls, you know. But
I could have told you, I forgot to tell you. Maybe you will find out one once in a while. So the rules for the many conditions, nobody can manage one of those places if it is no belong to the service before. Right?
Yeah.
Better. Yeah. And I've managed the American Legion.
He did?
For 5 years.
I was about to leave.
When was that?
The last time I was over there, I think it was 73, was that the last time was? So the last time was 73?
Yeah.
74, 73.
Yeah, but one of the things, actually a big part of the work I've been doing is there's this big perception about the Mexican people and the Mexican American people here that I'm trying to say it's almost like an absence. All right, you know, they were there to do certain things, and that's it in the history, and you don't hear that much about them. And that even goes to the Mexican people themselves. There's so many people that I talk to that I would ask about work, and they'd say, well, oranges, that's all there was to do. Yet these same people might have done two or three other jobs. And why do you think that, and why do you think people are...
Don't forget, right there on the corner of Stewart and High Street, was Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back 1930, right around the Chinatown, and then across the railroad tracks, more Chinese. Some disappeared. Up and left. Because the mother bought those apartments right there. She had the Tio Pepe, the corner there. Okay. And that was the only Mexican bar in Redlands at the time.
And this was around 3rd and Stewart Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is what I'm trying to get an idea of what that area looked like around the time you came. What it was like. You said that your mom she bought some apartments down there.
She bought the whole block.
She bought the whole block.
Remember Tovar on their street. It's Alma Tovar. Right next to, see who else, Juries on this side.
Juries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they were the state. Trujillo's, Don Pancho, Frank Trujillo, mm-hmm. The old man, Francisco, they were Indians. They used to live right there. Kids. They had a little store there, a Mexican store. And then later on, Simon Sepulveda
mm-hmm.
opened the store right there for my mother used to have the bar. Okay. Used to give credit to all the orange pickers. Of course, he never paid the bills. He collected all the money. They never got any money. He collected the bills for the groceries.
I got to do something. It's too hard for you to come back to school and learn Spanish. You think so?
No, I would. I tried over the years, and as a matter of fact, that's been a real sore point with me. I've tried for many, many years to learn to speak Spanish. I've been to Mexico. Taking classes there, and here the classes I've taken here are always taught by white people who speak Spanish, and it's just not I'm not getting the
But you do the basic Spanish, you can.
Yeah, I can read a little Spanish, I can understand a little bit, but I can't speak it.
Well, take tourist Spanish.
Let me tell you something. What are you by, we say La Opinión, the newspaper Opinión. Read it. And sometimes when you talk to me or to somebody, a people like me, talk to them about what you read in the newspaper and change the few words. If you know exactly the meaning of that word, ask what the meaning of that word. And I bet you can learn so quick.
I'm bilingual.
I'd like to learn.
I know it's hard for me to speak English because most of the time I think in Spanish. Is that the reason, see?
Yeah.
Like in the French, sometimes, maybe when I hear somebody speak French, like about 3 years ago, it was in New Orleans, my wife and I, we talking for a French lady over there. I can make a solid conversation, but as soon as we leave, I forget it. Because no practice and that, you know. The reason I told you about the Spanish is because I had quite a few books that can teach you what is you people come from, yours, mine, and all the Mexican people. What they or our ancestors do, what is the conversion, the Spanish and the Mexican people.
I hear something else you have to know. Some of the people that came from Mexico came running, you know?
During the revolution.
During the revolution, they bought money. You never could find out who had the money because they all picked oranges. They all lived real quietly. And there was one guy right there, San May, right there on High Street. And he always dressed the same way, denim pants, a jacket, coat, and a white shirt. All the time. Osicio Gonzalez, same way. He dressed good. He was one of the Gonzalez. And the same way. You never could find out what they were, but they had money. In fact, you could tell by the way the people dressed, like the Martinez, Sepulvedas, Guerreros. They're all different. They all had wear hats, gloves, went to church on Sunday so everybody would notice them. See, that's... Yes. So it was a different category. The well-set people, the poor, the medium class, and the poor people.
I
noticed that.
Yeah, I really got that impression. I have a question. I've been trying to. I learned a little bit about a church. It was a Presbyterian church that my family belonged to, Divine Savior, in Redlands, and I keep coming across people that were from New Mexico that were also. That were also Presbyterian, and again, it's one of these assumptions. People always assume that because I'm Mexican from a big family, I'm Catholic. All right, and I'm not a practicing Presbyterian, but are you familiar with anything in Mexican history? Because I'm not that familiar with Mexican history that would explain that where this sort of particular Presbyterian or where these Protestant Mexicans were located. Were they in the north? Where were they at?
Most of the people that changed the religion live in the north of Mexico.
Okay.
Mostly. Now, quite a few in the central south of Mexico. Why? Because the, what do you call it?
Jehovah?
No. It's the preachers coming to tell the people, you know. And keep it in mind that most of the people in Mexico, we the Mexican people, it's a funny people in a way. Did you give me something to the people? They go with you. You don't give them nothing, they don't go with you. See what I mean?
Just like a PTA, you know, if you're in town, the schools. If you're going to give a free meal, boy, that place is packed. You want a meeting, nobody shows up.
This is what happened. See, most of the religion in Mexico, if you give something to the people, they belong to the church. You don't give them nothing, they don't go. Or now, naturally, the Catholic people, this, keeping in mind, for many years, the Mexican people, the Catholic people, they don't have the right to read the Bible. They have some hints. Now, for more education, the people read the Bible and say, hey, wait a minute. There's no right there. It's the other way. This point they change. Because if we say the preacher or the father lied to me about this. No, because they don't love the religion. The reason is to hear the father one way the only way they can get to say no to him. And keep in mind, right now, the church, what I belong to, is most of the business. There's no some kind of religion right now all over the world. This business, money, 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 money. Wait, look, you're going to take your kids to baptize? How much they charge you? $25. And for the little kennel, $5. And the tip the father, $10. They cost you at least $50 for grocery. You go to a presentation of a little girl for the 15 years old, $75 up. If you want to put some flowers, they charge you more. They put some carpet, charge you more. They put music over there, and they do more. They got some, quite a few little kids around the father, it's an extra. See, this is business. This is why most of the Mexican people, they change so fast. They say, why? Jesus Christ, no coming to this, give me $5, you go to save. For a long time, look in Mexico, the religion, or my religion, you remember, we hear in some place about the hacendados in Mexico, you know, the big rich people, they got a big bunch of the lands, to a bunch of peons. They say the only people that got better way to live was the preacher, the father, or the monk in that community.
Yeah.
He was, this is the peon, you the patron. He's hungry, he stole the corn or the beans for the patron bodega or warehouse. If he got some few little chickens that the father wants to eat a good soup, chicken soup, he want a chicken, he said, he don't want to pay for. He said to the peon, do you want to give me that chicken? I got to tell you, patron, you stole the corn and the beans. Okay, father, this is a good chicken for you.
So after he would confess to stealing,
this is chicken for you, father. To you, if you don't give me the money to the church, say, hey, keep it in mind, I noticed it was mongering around for the women of somebody else or the Lord daughter of somebody else. If you don't give me, you're going to condemn because you so much money. See?
Just a union.
Yes. This is simple. This is why I ran the house, I talked to the father. When I was married for the church, I said, Padre, the way I got sent to Roma. No, you're supposed to marry right here because you belong to the church. No, Father. I go to marry whatever. But if you're no tell me nothing, I come in the marry with you. No, tell me nothing.
Can we celebrate a 50th anniversary?
See? Because I know what. Simple.
You know the scam. It sounds like. I've got some of the questions about. Although this isn't necessarily part of what I want to take. I had some questions about my father actually that because I interviewed him.
Look. Now you're going to offend your father. Can I tell you something? That your father made a big mistake in his life. Not to marry with your mother. No. The big mistake. ¿Cómo se llama el zapatero?
El que
estaba ahí.
Yeah, he was a shoemaker.
Shoemaker.
Yeah, he was a cobbler. He apprenticed to be a cobbler.
Era el
chaparrito, el zapatero.
Adam.
I think so. Adam. Your father worked with him, and your father gave me the idea of making some huaraches for the gringos style. Cuando the captain guy noticed that your father teach the way he makes the huaraches, he not using no more. Cuando he can start something for himself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That gives you an idea.
And this was here, or
in Redlands.
Redlands, because I never even knew that he did. I mean, he had his tools when I was a kid. He used to have his tools, but I never knew what they were for until just before he died. I never knew that he knew how to do that. And
a good.
He's pretty good to work as a kind of.
He was no dummy. That guy was intelligent.
Yeah.
He was quite well read. So did you both come at the same time?
No, I don't know. Remember, he was coming before, because I don't come from Mexico to California.
Okay,
I come into El Paso, and El Paso go all the way through to New Mexico, part of Arizona, go to Nueva Human, stay in Guajiro for a month or two. Mm-hmm. Then go to Montana, and Montana go to North Dakota, even Michigan. I quite a few states that work for the program of Bracero. In 1942, end of 42, I come into California, but I stay in the north. And they sent me back again. And end of the 43, they sent me to California, where I descended from Lindsay. I take my suitcase, go to work for the company, the collection, some kind of, whatever they call it, Guajuli, for making some rubber tires. They paid at that time $1.50 an hour. Mm-hmm. Well, if we make a 50 cents in the camp, I say, forget it. When the immigration caged me, they sent me to the camp. They didn't send me to Mexico, no. They sent me to the camp. And they came, all of these people that we deserted, because most of them, they had already the right to stay in any place. But we don't know. Because we don't have the knowledge, or the knowledge to ask somebody, hey, can you tell me what the score is about this? No. We don't care, was too young to do that.
He was only 22.
Yeah,
and then